This week in your parents' basement, we are playing what the Minneapolis City Pages called a daringly misanthropic commentary on earthly life. From 1991, it is a co-op puzzle action game for the Genesis, Toe Jam and Earl. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me as always is Bebopping co-host Huell Hauser.
Toe Jam is a wiener.
And our other co-host, he showed me firsthand all of the dangers of these earthlings. It's Todd Brisket.
Break it down, now do the slow jam. If your name is Toe Jam, 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 ja-jammin' it again.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, spend all of the money you have. Support the show by using our Amazon click-through link on www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Toe Jam and Earl from 1991. When it comes to the early Genesis games, most of them weren't really all that original. Yeah, they had better graphics than NES games, but fundamentally they were, for the most part, still the same old thing. Usually we're talking about a platformer with faster gameplay or a weird port of an arcade brawler, something like that. However, from that morass, there was occasional fun, completely unique games, since Sega did not have as stringent development demands as Nintendo did. One such game was Toe Jam and Earl, a really cool platform puzzler with an awesome jazz and bass soundtrack. Brisket, you nominated this game, so why don't you start off the conversation for us this week?
Sure, this is Toe Jam and Earl is probably my favorite Genesis game of all time. If I were to make a ranking, I'd put it up there at number one.
Oh,
that's what favorite means?
My all-time of the favorite.
Put it at number one.
Yeah. Just in case, you know, some people when they say favorite, it means, you know, number five. But not for me. That means number one.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
It's not like that fake teenage girl best friend thing where they all have five best friends. Right. No, this is your favorite it is.
We've all experienced that.
Yes.
We all have the experience of being young girls. You know, and
young girls.
Yeah, this is
backstabbing, two-faced teenage girls.
That's how I treat all my video games as well, though. Backstabbing young
girls.
Tell
them all that they're your favorite.
Yeah. But Toe Jam and Earl, that's your real favorite.
My real one.
That's your real bestie.
The Genesis.
On the Genesis, yes. Let's be clear here. Mm-hmm. It is my favorite game on Genesis.
Yeah. The Genesis is like a side piece for you.
Yeah.
Now, you may be prepared or unprepared to answer, but dare I ask how many DuckTales you give Toe Jam and Earl?
You know, that's a good question, and I would give this one solid DuckTale.
Whoa! That is completely unexpected.
There's a reason why. I can tell you for a fact.
I need to know.
This is not a good game.
I would agree.
But it is for me, it's a nostalgic classic game. This is one where I have a lot of nostalgia, and it's kind of goofy. All the different items you pick up, the different kinds of enemies that they put a mirror up to your face and show you your own disparities as a human. and it takes a little comedy in there. You're a wiener. You're a doofus, you know. Mm-hmm. Throw tomatoes at people.
You're a nerd.
And also, the big thing for this for me is the nostalgia thing is that I played this a ton with my siblings. Because this is a great co-op game. Because you can it's a split screen. You can go next to each other. You can go adventure together. You can go split up. You can kill each other if you throw tomatoes at each other. So it's a good time. It's about helping each other too. If you got a present, you need the other guy is low on health, you can drop a fudge sundae for him, and he can use it.
That's not innuendo. You actually eat food in this game.
Yeah,
you do drop fudge sundaes. Yeah.
This is Brisket and I did manage to play this one a little bit online. And I did find this game a lot of fun. This is probably definitely the best game we played co-op.
Yes, yeah.
It did work a little better. Smash TV is one of my all-time favorite games, but this one definitely worked better. It was our first time doing a Genesis game online, and it definitely had less issues, and it was surprisingly fun.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, no, should we describe this game? Because it is very strange.
First of all, he'll give me a proper noun.
Oh, Earl.
All right.
Because it is, you call it a puzzler, but is it really a puzzler? It's like a,
I don't know where the puzzler comes from when Steve says
that's
it.
Definitely not a puzzler. You're collecting items.
Oh, an adventure game.
Yeah, adventure.
Action,
yeah,
action adventure.
Yeah, it's like it's a top down.
It's like Zelda.
Adventure.
It's a deep story driven RPG.
It's almost exactly like Zelda. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not. I guess to be technical, it would be a roguelike action adventure game.
That is accurate. This is probably one of the first roguelike games on console.
It is very interesting. So the plot is there are two aliens who are just beep bopping around, jamming around the universe, and one is a little red toe jam, and the other is a big orange Earl. Yep. And Toe-Jam usually flies their little spaceship. One day, Earl says, hey, let me give it a shot. And I don't know how exactly, but he crashes the ship.
He hits an asteroid.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah.
Because he's so big and goofy, like he can't even drive a spaceship. So he crashes in, and all the pieces of their spaceship fall to Earth.
Yep.
And then they have to journey around Earth to find their spaceship pieces. Yeah. And that is it. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, it's kind of it flips the script on you because you are playing as the aliens and all of the dirty, filthy humanoids and Earthlings, they are killing you.
Yeah, this is what Neil Blomkamp he based District 9 on.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, this seems like a pretty similar arc. I would say that.
It's very similar, actually. Now that I'm putting a little bit more thought into it, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta find their spaceship parts and, finally build it.
There's a sequel that's not as good or won't be as good as the original. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The enemies. By the way, this is a game that I don't know. Maybe I kept calling it a puzzle game because it doesn't really revolve around combat for the most part. You sometimes get temporary weapons like tomatoes or a slingshot that you can use against people to stun them or banish them off the screen. But for the most part, you're running away from these people.
Oh, yeah. This game is all about running away.
There's almost no direct fighting.
Yep.
Because when you say throw tomatoes, they just drop from the sky, and hopefully they hit things.
Pretty much, because when you do get a weapon, I found it hard to actually hit anything.
Yeah, you have to get used to the angle so you can be more accurate.
Because the way the weapons work is as you're journeying around, you pick up little present boxes. Mm-hmm. And then some of them you don't even know what they do, so you open them up and hope that something good happens. But once you discover one type, then it'll tell you from then on what it does. But I mean, I opened one and I just died.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
That was it. Yeah. Or you can become like a pogo stick, or you get like jumping shoes or running shoes or all sorts of different things.
Right, and
they're not always combat oriented.
And that's another good. This game is so replayable because it's so replayable. Because every time you play, the presents are randomized, so you have no idea what they are the next time you play. And
and the maps are random too.
Maps are random.
Or
yeah,
they can be. There's two different modes.
I've never played the static mode, but I hear that it is laid out to be much more difficult.
Right, that's what I was reading. So I'm like, I'm just gonna go with the random mode.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the way it should be played.
Yeah, play it pure. Mm-hmm. Play it natural.
I agree. It is more fun.
Hey Steve, give me a proper noun.
Dominique Dawkins.
Okay, he'll give me an adjective.
Floats.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely, it was pretty fun. I did manage to play a little bit on my own after I played with Brisket. My very first time playing this game, I went in completely pure, completely naked to this online session with Brisket.
Nude to the world.
Exactly. And, but then I tried again single player for, 15, 20 minutes the other day. It was still fun, but this is definitely a game that's improved in co-op mode.
Yes, for sure. It's okay as a single player, and I think you might get bored of it playing single player, but playing it co-op is where it's at. You gotta work together. You gotta explore the map and help each other out.
Oh, definitely.
Spread your wings.
I'm gonna vouch for getting bored playing single player because I didn't have the greatest time playing this.
Did you play it as a young Huel?
I think I did. Like I barely remember it. So like this was almost new to me. So this.
Yeah, I can. I definitely. Much,
yeah.
Like I said, this is a solid game for me just based on the nostalgia factor. And I can see how someone picking it up today would not be that impressed.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I definitely agree with that.
This game was kind of out of my wheelhouse because I didn't get a Genesis until I was, late in my teens. I scooped one up from Toys R Us. So by then I had kind of the most famous games and a couple of the RPGs, but that was about it. So this one kind of flew under the radar for me. Well, as much as one of the most popular side series for Sega can fly under the radar. So
yeah, this is almost like a second tier character kind of thing, like under the Sonics and if there's any
for sure. I think Sega did push for these guys to become some kind of mascot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're kind of like the old school mascot kind of guys. Like it's a game you've heard of, but it kind of never went anywhere.
Yeah, we can kind of get into that now because the where is it now portion. Because in 1994, there was a sequel, Panic on Funkotron. Mm-hmm. While it kept the same characters and sold well, it was disappointing for fans of the original because it shifted to more of a traditional platformer. The creators of the game have said this is almost solely because of Sega's influence.
Mm. Yeah, and I did put a lot of time into the sequel when I was a kid because I loved the first one. And it was kind of a disappointment because it was not the same kind of game as the first one. So it is more of just a platformer. It's two player at the same time, which is still good. But, and it's still an okay game, but it didn't hit all my buttons like the first one did.
Well, it's also, I'm sure it feels frustrating for fans because originally, they were planning to do more of a traditional sequel that would keep the same gameplay, add more music, and also add like indoor stages and that kind of thing. So it sounds like it could have been real cool, but they the developer and the creator basically said that they kind of bowed to pressure from Sega. And while the second game was a success, it wasn't kind of lost that magic, man. From there, the series went dormant for about a decade. A sequel was never considered really for the Saturn because of that system's poor sales performance. And a new game for the Dreamcast was partially programmed. A port of this game, ToeJam & Earl 3, Mission to Earth for the Xbox, came out in 2003. It received mixed reviews, and it didn't sell well either. The original for the Dreamcast, it's now been released by the by the creator, I think in 2013, 2014, because I guess it's kind of abandoned software at this point, so they just put it out for anyone to play. Nowadays, though, like every other classic game series, there is a Kickstarter revival planned. ToeJam & Earl, Back in the Groove, is due out in fall 2016, and it looks pretty slamming. Did you get a chance to look at that, Brisket?
No, I didn't. I need to check that out.
It looked like it was, obviously back to the traditional gameplay, and a lot of like the update statuses are about how they're, cramming in new enemies, cramming in new songs, new new hip beatboxing stuff.
Yeah. Well,
should be good, man.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that far, I guess, but the further up I went, because you kind of go level by level, I noticed it turned into like a desert kind of sand pit style.
Yep.
Are there a lot more different types of levels after that?
No, there's not.
You guys usually got.
Okay. It's generally either grass or desert.
Oh, okay. Yep. I was kind of hoping there'd be more.
Well, we ran into one stage that was like half islands, and that was kind of annoying.
True, there's ocean stages.
Yeah, I remember I got stuck. It was just an island floating, and I couldn't get anywhere else. Like, are there ways to get across those gaps?
Yeah. Well, there's multiple ways. You can get the Icarus wings and fly over. You can get the rocket skates and jump off the edge and make a huge ramp off the edge and make it. And there's also little secret paths that open up if you walk towards the edge of some ledges.
I've seen that, and I went all around the one island I was on, but I had gotten the wings before, but I didn't have them at that point, I guess.
Oh, you got yourself into a bad situation.
I was in a bad situation. But luckily you can kind of just fall off the edge and just go to the level below.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of a cool aspect of this game.
Kind of strategy there.
Yeah, where if you fall down below, even in the co-op mode, you just go down one stage. You don't lose a life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're progressively going up in elevators for some reason.
Yeah, in Bill and Ted's Time Machine.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I thought. Maybe it's just because of the tone of this game, but I thought, oh, this is – they obviously borrowed some inspiration for Bill and Ted here.
Possibly. But would you agree that the elevators were the worst part of Toe Jam and Earl?
Between stages?
Because they took like 14 minutes to get to the next level. They took forever.
Sure. I guess.
It seemed like it for like a cartridge game. Why was it low tech?
It's a cartridge that it's randomizing the next level for you. It's gotta stick all that level into its RAM, man.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but this is a cartridge game, and they always loaded up faster than CDs back in the day. But still, you know, there's a limited amount of power that the old Genesis had there and the Super Nintendo.
And yeah, Todd's got a point. It's not straight loading a level. It's just randomizing literally everything. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess like predetermined squares and just kind of putting the squares out there.
Yeah, I will say if you ever want to see some good loading, you should play Doom or Civilization on the Super Nintendo, which I have played both.
And I'm gonna pass.
Keep interrupting.
Well,
but basically the only way to play Civilization on the Super Nintendo is with an emulator so that you can frame skip, and even then it takes like at points it'll take 10 to 20 seconds between turns just because it's so bogged down. So Brisket, did you have something to say?
Well, I was going to say you guys if you guys like games with elevators, go play some Mass Effect. That has some good elevator action in it.
That is the best elevators in any game. Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
The only game I've played with better elevators than Mass Effect is Elevator Action, which is a spy game that uses elevators. So that
makes complete sense.
Yeah. Well, I think it first came out in like the 80s. So. Back then, they were like,
what is this magical device called an elevator?
What can we properly animate in a game? Oh, an elevator.
It was the Die Hard craze.
Exactly. They were all trying to mimic Die Hard.
I think Elevator Action is pretty much Die Hard the game. You're a guy running through a building and just blowing away everybody.
It's a dude.
Yes. You are killing pretty much everyone. And wow, this came out in 1983 originally.
That's pre-Die Hard, isn't it?
So Die Hard was based on that game.
Yeah, clearly.
Oh my God.
Well, Elevator Action, he kind of looks more James Bondy, because he's got slicked back black hair, as opposed to bald bald chrome dome Willis there.
No wife beater.
Nope, no wife beater. He's in a shirt and tie.
Yeah, Die Hard's 88, so clearly it was based off of elevator action.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's no question.
No though. Question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Huel, give me an adjective, and Steve, give me a verb.
Gassy.
Pontificating.
Oh my.
All right.
I would like our show to be a little classier. I mean, I realize sometimes we have fun getting emails from people living in dumpsters, but, you know, as we're hitting 2016 here, I think there's always a moment for self-reflection and in a way just to relish our successes and our friends. So.
Also, I think it's near a dumpster, not necessarily in one.
Oh, good point.
So.
Good clarification.
You know.
let's not throw stones at dumpsters.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, Huel, did you like the music in this game?
Absolutely. That is the one part. I mean, you're asked if I played it as a Ute, but that is the one part I do remember.
Yeah.
Because one friend and I were absolutely obsessed with that song, and I still had MP3s of it and stuff.
It's funky.
So that is the big part that I remember. Yep. The Toe Jam and Earl theme song.
A friend of the show, Jovial Jackie, mentioned to us, oh, what's that snifferoo from?
Possibly our best snifferoo.
Yeah, she was like, oh, that's a pretty bouncy song you got there. Yeah, no, there's a bunch of good little themes in
this.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good tunes. And one of my favorite features is in the game, instead of playing the game, you can go to the freestyle funk mode. And
oh yes,
and you and your buddy can pick up controllers and start making music. You hit the buttons.
A popular activity in the Teeb household.
Yeah, hit the buttons and they make different sound effects, and you can put different backing tracks onto it and mix some jams.
Mm. It was like Mario Paint before Mario Paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what we all just agreeing, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's what everyone used Mario Paint for. It was to
yeah. They had that nobody cool painted. Organ. Nobody painted with Mario Paint. They just made music.
I hate you guys.
Well, we did talk about how this was a secondary tier kind of series for Genesis. It's definitely not equivalent to like a Mario or a Sonic. But I consider Toe Jam and Earl kind of the next rung down, like an Alex Kidd or a Banjo.
He's
a Banjo. Yeah, it's a good Banjo. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Crash Bandicoot I would put like a little above this.
Well, Crash Bandicoot was PlayStation's primary mascot.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything else.
Yeah, and I will say I might be the only one, but I did like those Crash Bandicoot commercials.
They're pretty funny. Where sure the guy wearing the crash suit doing hijinks.
Yeah, like, yeah. Basically, the guy in the Crash Bandicoot suit. Yeah, I think he heckled outside of Nintendo and Sega at one point.
Yeah.
So, Huel, you would love it. It was like DX going to WCW Nitro.
Oh, that's perfect. So he was in a tank and just drove up to the office and with a megaphone.
You know, it wasn't a tank, but I think it was something silly.
Oh, I bet.
Hey, plumber boy, mustache man, your worst nightmare has arrived.
Pack up your stuff. I got a little surprise for you here. Check it out. What do you think about that? We got real time, 3D, lush organic environments. How's that make you feel, buddy?
Feel a little like your days are numbered?
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
You're hurting my elbow.
Is that Italian?
No, Bandicoot is an Australian name.
But, Tojo, it's weird that, you know, Sega was aggressive with that second game. This feels like a series that they definitely could have gotten more games out of. Like, And I'm surprised it went dormant for so long. So.
Well, yeah,
I guess
that's
so.
True.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe it's the fact that they changed the layout a little bit, and then also all of their consoles started failing. So maybe that has something to do with it.
I mean, after the second one, which is a platformer, we moved on to the PlayStation era, and they were trying to make a 3D version of this game, and I just don't think this is one that could be or should be translated to 3D, full 3D.
No, I
and they have to do it because Super Mario 64 came out, and so they had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I saw the Xbox version. I think that's kind of like, you know, weird 3D-ish kind of perspective, and I don't know. That didn't look so hot to me. Like, I can understand why that crashed and failed. And also, though, to pull back the curtain a little bit, we, you know, when it comes to Saturn games that we might have on this show, it is not a long list.
No, the one that I wanted to do, you guys never heard of.
I don't think I've heard of any of them.
Yeah, and most of the better games either have not held up at all, like a Virtual Fighter one, that just looks like hot garbage now. Or it's there are games that are good but not great, like Daytona USA, they're really just bizarre games that are fun, but it's like, is that what we're gonna do for our first Saturn game?
Yeah, it's amazing how some of those early 3D games just do not hold up visually.
Oh, definitely. Like PlayStation has Battle Arena Toshinden.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that came. It came with a demo of Final Fantasy, right?
Oh no!
And that might have been why I got it.
I think you're thinking of a Tobal Number One or something.
Oh, I'm thinking of Tobal Number One. Yeah.
Yeah, Square has tried to do fighter games at various points, and they're all horrible. Actually, no. Well, Final Fantasy Dissidia, or however you say it, that's good, but that came out like 2 years ago. So,
yeah, they've had time to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Copy other people's formulas
from 50 failures. So, with that in mind, it probably isn't the worst thing that ToeJam & Earl skipped the Saturn generation, but you know. I would have loved to have seen a proper Dreamcast version of this because the Dreamcast was a fun little system.
Yeah, it would have been. I think they could have done something good on Dreamcast with this game. Dreamcast has had a lot of quirky games, and it would have fit right in there.
Oh, definitely. The Dreamcast generation, which I guess was Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, and GameCube. That's when you finally got away from a lot of
people. No. Dreamcast was like PlayStation. It was like between PlayStation and PlayStation 2.
Yeah, but it
isn't that why it failed? Because it was halfway between like the new and old systems, so it didn't really have a place.
Well, I always consider it more in line with the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube. I think it came out a lot earlier than them, though, because Sega was trying to rush a system to the market.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, because the Saturn failed so badly.
It was pre-PS2 and GameCube, but like N64 and PlayStation were still going strong, so it was just like, why would anyone want a new system when the current systems still have a lot of life in them?
I could see that, yeah. Well, I mean, the other problem for Sega was also that people knew that PlayStation 2 and GameCube were coming, mm-hmm. so...
Well, that's what I mean. It's part of the...
I think those systems that come out in between the big ones fail. They always fail because I think there's some kind of sales boost that the companies get whenever they all come out at the same time. Like right now you always have, ooh, Xbox is better. Oh, PlayStation is better. Oh, shut up, Swan. And so they boost each other and people get on sides and they have to pick a side and they have to go pick that side, defend it, and buy it.
Yeah. Veronica Vaughn picked the side of Pete Sampras over Billy Madison.
Yeah.
So,
we all know she chose poorly.
That Veronica Vaughn is one hot piece of ace. I know from experience.
No, you don't.
Forgot how the rest of that goes, but
you can imagine though.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Ooh, boy. Ooh. Hey, Hugh.
Oh, hey.
Give me a proper noun. Steve, give me an adjective.
Barack Obama.
Cromulent. What, you've never heard that word before, Huel? Before you moved to Springfield?
It's perfectly cromulent.
Yeah. I was forget the other one they used. Is it
Embiggens.
Oh, Embiggens.
A noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
I don't know. As always, we have less to talk about with games we enjoyed. We should do Simpsons quotes for the remaining 15
minutes.
We've
already tapped out Billy Madison. We should move on to Simpsons.
Well, they both had a good run, and they both have a very spotty record with video games. Although there's not a Billy.
Yeah, I don't remember the Billy Madison video game.
By the way, though, I did discover that there is a Space Jam video game.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there'd have to have been.
I just didn't touch it. But we may in the future.
Yeah, I think when we played NBA Jam and played some other things, I always was surprised. Oh, why wasn't there ever a Space Jam video?
Yeah, I never really got on my radar. And unfortunately, I think what that signifies is that it is perfectly mediocre. Like, it's not a horrible game, because it would have shown up on lists of the worst games ever. And it's not a good game, because we would have played it at some point.
Yeah, it's just perfectly mediocre. Steve said it a few times, like, as a joke, I think. But then didn't realize it actually existed.
Oh, I had no idea that. I mean, if I were to think about it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, they probably did make a Space Jam game. But I've never seen or heard details about it, ever. And
I think I remember just seeing the box art and, like, nothing else. Like, probably, like, in the rental, video rental place or something.
Well, that's another one they have to, why don't we have a Kickstarter for a proper Space Jam game? Instead, we're getting another Shaq Fu.
Because Space Jam isn't, like, there's no Space Jam movie right now, so.
God.
Why would we kickstart a game based off of a 20-year-old movie?
We need a sequel of that movie as well. Well, they talked,
LeBron was doing it.
No, that's been the rumor for a while, but he's rebuffed it, unfortunately.
Ugh.
I know, it's unfortunate, because
he's a dirty liar.
I would watch that, especially
Sander right now.
Well, only if it has Bill Murray, or if it doesn't have Bill Murray, if it has one of the other Murray brothers, I think it would be fine.
Or at least Wayne Knight again.
Oh, you can get.
He's not doing anything.
You can get Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to, you know, Bill Murray's casting thing famously is you have to call an answering machine
because
he doesn't have an agent, so you just have to leave a message and then hope he shows up. Wayne Knight, he will return your call.
You can call him directly.
Yeah, I mean, we covered Jurassic Park on the show. Wayne Knight did all of the motion capturing for that video game.
Mm-hmm.
Even the dinosaur. He was available.
Wow. So. Well, he was going to be a guest, but his Skype wasn't working.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
What is he should be getting the credit and accolades that Andy Serkis is getting now
for his motion capture work?
Yeah.
in Jurassic Park the game.
Yeah.
Well, it was a different time back then.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as prominent.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well,
yes,
Brisket. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask us?
Yeah, Huel, can you give me a verb?
Nope.
And Steve, give me a noun.
Pry.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
My noun will be basketball.
Always comes back to basketball.
Yeah. As he glances around the room,
sees one in the corner.
How about a round ball?
orange rubber
Steve,
ball.
Steve, give me another noun, and he'll give me a plural noun.
Oh, boy. Let's glance around.
Lamp. No, that's not my noun. I get better.
Chains.
Mine's just a regular noun, right? Not a.
It's an improper.
Sure, yeah. Just a good old noun.
Taco.
Ooh. Uh-huh. And one more noun from each of you.
Wow, a lot of nouns.
A lot of nouns here.
Penguin.
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Wasteland.
Oh, wasteland. Alright.
Okay. Place, but...
Well, I do have some more to talk about on Toe Jam and Earl a little bit. So,
oh, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys, are you aware? Now, Steve hasn't done a huge deep dive into this game, and Huel, I'm sure, doesn't know this, but on the first stage.
On the first stage,
you know how you're in an ocean surrounded with water, and that's pretty much the flat Earth level one.
Yep.
If you get some Icarus wings or some inner tubes or some rocket skates, and you can go all the way up, like, I don't know, 10 squares to the top right, and there's a little island filled with presents strewn all about. Get some more presents, get some of those, and then use your inner tube, your wings, or your rocket skates, go all the way down to the bottom left corner of that screen, about 10 by 10 down the other way, and you'll find another island, but this one has a hole in it. And if you jump down that hole, you go to level zero. And at level zero, it is just a floating island with a hot tub, a lot of hula girls, and a lemonade stand. And so when you get in the hot tub, it refills your health. And the lemonade stand gives you a free life. Free extra man.
Wow.
And so that's a little secret. If you're starting to get low on health and presence, you want to pick up an extra man, just hop on down all the way down to the first stage and go to level zero. And then when you jump off that island of level zero, it takes you to the highest level you've reached. So you loop back around.
Oh, you go back up. Yep. Oh, that's crazy.
Wow. Now, just to be clear, since you do sometimes have fun on this show, Brisket, you are completely serious. I'm looking at the screenshot from with the lemonade stand on it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you accuse him of having fun?
Listen, how come you didn't show me this the other night, Brisket? I feel a little offended now.
Oh, we're just playing to have fun. I wasn't trying to just destroy the game and break it and
I want you to
defile you with it.
I want you to wow me. I want
your mind.
I want you to woo me like the first time we podcasted.
I'll show you my Toe Jam and Earl.
Exactly.
Yes. Order the wheel. I want all the food in the game.
That actually applies.
Yeah, give me chocolate fudge.
Root beer. Spaghetti.
Even the moldy cheese. I want it all.
I'll take it all.
Brisket, did you have any more notes here on the old Toe Jams and Earls?
No more notes. I would say, hey, if you are a person that plays Sega Genesis games, then play this one. There you go.
That is apt. Yeah.
Yep. All those Brazilians. I don't know if we've mentioned on the show before, but the Sega Genesis is one of the most popular systems of Brazil.
Rightfully so.
And by that I mean today. So. Oh. Yeah. It's very Brazil is an alternate video game universe where Sega beat Nintendo. That is the first link that pops up if you do Sega Genesis in Brazil. So
I'll have to go down there for that very reason.
it's where your people live, and all they're doing is
it's playing, my destiny
playing Altered Beasts.
For sure. Virtual Man.
Shaq Fu. Shaq Fu tournaments. They put them on TV.
Oh, man.
Heel, did you have anything else you wanted to add here on the old Toe Jams?
Yes, this has a very extended intro / title sequence.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it very much. I watched the entire thing. And the title cards, just like coming up with the name, that they're taken straight out of like all that in the 90s. They're just extremely of the time. And I appreciated them very much.
Oh, yeah. To be clear, this is very much 1990s colors and terminology.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like between the stages, Toe Jam and Earl talk to each other and, you know, it's like, cool, bro. Nice going.
Well, not quite.
Nice going, dude.
It's a time capsule, if anything.
Oh, yes. Good point.
Now, did you go over the fact that you level up in this game and the levels you acquire? Let's see if I can pull up a list. So,
yeah, do we have a list there? Because I did open with one of them. I believe.
I don't have one handy.
Oh, glad you brought it up.
Well, you start as a doofus, correct?
Or, yes. Or no, you start out as a wiener.
Ah, that is a wiener. Okay.
Don't we all? Don't we all want to be an Oscar Mayer wiener?
Here we go. So when you use items and you get some experience points, you acquire different levels of coolness. They call them the levels of coolness. Your health bar expands, and you get a little bit – you don't get stronger. It's just you can take more damage, and you'll need that in the later stages with the phantom ice cream truck chasing you down, the dentist.
And the butt-pinching doctor.
Yeah. You start out as a wiener. Next level is a doofus. Then you are a Poindexter. And then you are a peanut. And then I guess you start getting good because now you're a dude. Then you're a bro. And then you're a homie.
Oh.
And then you're a rap master. And finally, finally, the highest level, you're a funk lord.
Oh.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Like my dream.
George Clinton. The Funkadactic All-Stars.
You were going to say Funkadactyls, weren't you?
Yeah, but then I realized, no, that's from WWE. And if we mention their name, we have to give them $5, probably.
Oh, no.
For the first time in years, someone has mentioned their names. Yeah, that was cool. I think I only get up to dude, I want to say, and then die.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, I think we're just about done talking about Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, did you have something you wanted to contribute right about now?
Sure. Yeah, I have a little bit skit prepared over the course of the show.
Mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. Mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy.
And it goes a little something like this. Dominique Dawkins and Barack Obama are both highly floaty aliens from the planet Floatotron. Recently, they ran into a gassy problem. They are prying in their highly cromulent, ultra-pontificating, righteous rap master penguin when Barack Obama said he'd like a shot at driving. To cut a long basketball short, the penguin is now in pieces, spread over the most insane planet in the taco, Planet Earl. All they have to do now is find the 10 chains of their penguin, and they're on their way. Doesn't that sound so wasteland, does it?
The last part didn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I think that last part was an adjective, not a noun there.
Maybe.
Oh, man.
I don't know words.
Sure.
Well, it's hard. You only see them in ones and zeros, so it can be hard to translate them back and forth sometimes.
I'm doing it on the fly here.
You know, as a master of speaking and words.
That was a title bestowed upon me by
you didn't ask
a great many people.
Oh, goodness.
You didn't ask for that responsibility.
No. Just fell in my lap and out of my mouth.
Power like that comes great responsibility. The mostest. All right, moving right along to the emails right now. Todd, did you get any emails this week?
I did. I got about 50 emails about YPB.
It's a good. But I
started having a seizure and I accidentally hit the delete button like 50 times.
Oh.
So
are you okay?
They're kind of lost.
First of all,
yeah, I'm fine now.
Are you feeling better? Okay,
I'm fine.
Wow,
that sucks that we lost them all.
Yeah. Just send them in again.
That was a banner week.
Yeah. If you could just forward the email you sent to Todd to us again, we would really appreciate it.
Maybe just copy us on it also, like me and Steve, just in case.
ParentsBasementPodcast@gmail.com.
Are you sure? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I thought it was YPB Podcast.
No, that's our website.
Why are they different?
Because some people on the internet register like every email name.
So someone had ypbpodcast@gmail.com already?
I'm pretty sure.
They're probably getting all our emails.
Well,
I mean, more than we already get.
Here's the thing. I think someone had registered your parents' basement at gmail.com. So from there, I was trying different combinations, ma'am. And also, even way back then.
I don't know why I'm asking about this now, but.
Yeah. No, even. Yeah. I mean, we are only 40 episodes in. So. Well, the other issue is we hadn't really come up with the YPB. We hadn't figured out acronyms yet.
Oh, yeah. The hip new slang.
Yeah.
On the hot and schmexy news slang on the scene. Wasn't really brought up.
I will say we have already fended off someone else who was trying to use the Your Parents' Basement name and didn't check first to see if there was another podcast using it. Or rather, he said he had checked like a couple years ago and nobody was, and I guess he hadn't found out that we parked on that real estate.
Yeah, our lawyers shut that down real fast.
Uh-huh. Good times. Well, Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact, receive one, and it is from ScooterButt42.
Oh, Scooty.
So they write in, "It was lovely hearing Huel's voice talk about the Burgomeister last week. He always brightens my day. I need another pick-me-up, though. So what games are you looking forward to most in 2016?
Ooh.
Sincerely, ScooterButt42.
That's a good ask.
That is a great ask.
Scooty strikes again.
Let me see. Well, I mean, there's still I mention it every time. There's still a bunch of stuff I haven't played yet.
I'm about to start
New Vegas, finally, which I said I was going to start like months and months ago.
It's the hottest game of last year.
Yeah. Well, last year, hottest game of like 4 years ago.
That was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Well, there are other games that like I'm not sure if they're actually going to come out in 2016. Like there's supposed to be a new Persona game. I don't know if it's going to make it out though.
Yeah.
The same thing. There's another South Park coming out.
That is supposed to be.
I just pulled up a list here, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but the new Mass Effect Andromeda Episode 1 is coming out in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Really? Oh, that should be cool.
Yeah, it's a completely new story, so that should be fun.
We got Far Cry Primal. It's going to be good.
I got one. XCOM 2.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably my number one right now.
PC
and it's coming up like next month, so.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a big XCOM guy, Huel.
Oh, Enemy Unknown. I played the crap out of that.
I played through it once and I really liked it, but there was, you know, there's just so much other stuff to get through that it didn't get its hooks in me as much as Fallout did. So
it was glorious.
It was definitely fun. I did give a brief thought to trying one of the ridiculously hard modes that they have on there. Like
oh yeah. I can't do those. I love the base game. The game is great, but I just don't like playing it where I get tortured and I have to restart over and over.
Yeah. I'm not looking to get angry when I play games most of the time.
Yeah.
Just the normal straight up XCOM. It was just, it really hit my buttons.
Hitting all them buttons.
All my buttons.
There's one little indie type game coming out.
Oh, is that considered a roguelike?
Is it? No, it's not. Roguelikes are more of an RPG.
A little bit.
I guess so. Tiny bit, but roguelikes are more of an RPG game.
I mean, there are randomized levels. Like, some of them you do repeat, but, like, it is kind of, well, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of a roguelike for, like, a turn-based strategy game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get the same maps sometimes, I guess, but, like, enemy positions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Are different, or like what you're actually doing in that map.
Yeah.
Like, is it a rescue mission, or is it a go shut down the power thing, or that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So there's an element of randomization.
Yeah.
It's new every time.
I will say the game I am most randomly excited for, but I don't know if it's going to be 2016 or 2017, is because it was just announced, Ni No Kuni 2.
Oh boy. Oh jeez,
it's a JRPG, PS4 exclusive. So it's a good time.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yep.
No, really. I heard it's a good game, but my only problem is that it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive, and I'm still stuck on PC with XCOMs.
My only my big problem is only one of those words was an actual word, so I'm not. Does not appeal to me.
There's one. There's a new indie game coming out, and I think it's coming out on PC. For sure, it's coming out on PS4. Called No Man's Sky. You guys know about that one?
I think so.
It's a procedurally generated space flight game where you go and land on planets and colonize planets.
That's right.
Oh yeah, they showed that on like Conan or Fallon or something. It looked kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming out for PS4 and Windows sometime in 2016.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird mix of systems, but like no Xbox.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh. Something's got to be exclusive, yeah. You know.
Yeah, but then why is it on the PC?
Because all you have to do is recompile it.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to do any system you make it for. You have to do tweaking, and I think PS4 development is follows closely along the lines of what PC development is like. Tweaking it to run correctly.
You think like Xbox, Microsoft would be almost the same.
Perhaps
Windows.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah, but I guess I don't know. Maybe they are drastically different. Maybe this is a targeted deployment that they're looking at. Like they know they'll get the most sales if they just concentrate on these two.
Well, I can see that. I do feel like Xbox always kind of like slants more towards first person shooters in those kind of games. But I don't know if that's just bias on my part or if that's the actual truth. So I know. Then again, like the list of exclusives for each system is like it's so small anyway that it doesn't really matter anymore. Like the one PS4 exclusive I currently own. Well, I have two: Final Fantasy VII, I guess, and and also whatchamacallit? Uncharted. which is, you know, I like the games, but I, you know, they're not like a system seller or anything to me. So, well, I received one email this week. Hey guys, thanks for having me on last week. You're my best friends. Sincerely, Jovial John.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. Thanks, John. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. Now it's not a question, but I am also happy to hear it.
So. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, and yes, he was a guest on the show, but a fan is a fan. So it's
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad to have him right in. So
I'd be happy if more former guests wrote in and said how great we were.
I hope they write in, and also I hope Ruth Bader Ginsburg writes in sometime and talks about how great we are.
Yeah. If anyone, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I did have to update our guest list. Unfortunately, for this week, we did have Abe Vigoda booked.
Yeah, it's just and unfortunate timing.
We just missed him.
So close.
I know. So if you're not going to play a video game this week, I would really appreciate it if you watch The Godfather. So, or Conan. Either
one. It's any Conan episode.
Yeah.
Well, any Conan episode, there's like a 1 in 5 chance he'll be in it. So,
yeah. I wasn't disagreeing.
Yeah. But for realies, like the AV Club did have a collection of some of the Conan clips he had been in. So, and Conan also ran a cool retrospective. So, good times.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we sign off here?
Yeah. Earl and I are the funkiest of aliens. Funk, 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 fa-funk, funk it. If you're Earl, then you belly bump it. Rockin' it, clockin' it, shakin' it throughout the galaxy. We are the hip-hop MCETs.
Wow.
I'm supposed to follow that.
Well, you know, I realize you're not as good, you know, off the top of your head like Todd.
Freestyling, yeah.
But, Huel, do you have any words of wisdom here as we sign off?
Well, honestly, my only advice would just to be that you should never let Earl drive.
it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Good piece. Since they are coming out with a new game soon. So they're going to be around. Don't let them drive your car.
Get that advice.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's play everyone out with a little snifferoo from next week's game.